Hey, everybody. I want to thank you for coming and seeing me on the Golden Retriever of Comedy Tour. We've announced the second leg. It starts up in February, February 13th in Orlando, then February 14th in Tampa. Going to be in Buffalo, February 28th. Boston, March 6th, Philly, March 7th. Go to dansoder.com. The whole second leg, all the way through April, is on sale. All available at dansoder.com. I fucking love it.
Do the way back.
Pause this. On the way back. Pause this. Go watch his special. Come back.
Please.
Welcome back. I always am interested with friends of mine that are sports fans that are also, that I know... friends of mine that are also fans of the same team that know each other. You were, you know, you're in New York, so you did Stavies. Do you guys text about the Ravens?
Only not this year.
Yeah, you guys are. Well, Lamar's out.
Nah, we talk a very little bit about it, but I told him, like, there's no reason Ronnie is not calling our draft pick next year.
Oh, yeah.
I told him that last year. Yeah, I'm like, you 100% should be doing our first round draft pick.
Yeah, that should be the thing. Right? They all, a lot of times, for non-sports fans, the NFL draft, what they've been doing recently in years is they have a celebrity fan of the team come and do a draft pick on usually night one. Or do they still do Goodell doing the round one and then the celebrity does round two?
It's a good question. I feel like this year I didn't see Goodell do all of them. I feel like this year...
Goodell does like the top 10 because that's the sweet shit. He wants that. He wants the strongest hit.
Yeah.
So they give Goodell greens on the draft, and then they bring in the celebrity. And Stav is big enough; he could be Ronnie, the character,
no doubt.
Yeah, dude,
I'm lobbying for it,
dude. You
don't understand how big of a football fan is. I told this story in an album and on This Is Not Happening, but I was legitimately supposed to be one of the ball boys for the 1984 Baltimore Colts.
Crazy, the team that left, and became the Indianapolis Colts. That would have been how much worse of a drug problem you would have had if you were a ball boy for a team that left. You would have been dead.
This is, you know, before eBay and all that stuff back then, and you could just go to the practice and you, like, the players would throw the ball with you on the side. And
yeah, they were only also making like
$60,000. Yeah, and they're working at a used car dealership in the offseason
or not pro wrestling
training. Yeah,
yeah, or they're in a local wrestling.
And Raymond Butler was playing catch with me on the sideline. And he said, you know, we're already in season, but how do you feel about being a ball boy? And I was like, oh, my God, I'd love to. And after that practice, my dad talks to him and all, and I'm going to be one of the ball boys for the 84 Colts. And then a few months later, my dad wakes us up in the middle of the night. He's like, you ain't going to believe this shit. We all go downstairs crying, watching the Colts drive out of town.
And it was literally the middle of the night, right?
Snowstorm, too. It was all so dramatic.
Did you guys really watch them drive out of town?
Yeah,
is that a real thing?
Woke us up out of bed. Yeah, they were all on the news. It's all still on the news.
So they filmed them driving out
there. Here's the thing. They knew.
They perp walked the Colts?
They knew the whole time because Irsay at the time was a drunk. And he would get on flights. He was going to talk to Arizona and everybody. And then the media would meet him when he'd come off the flight. Segura and I text about this shit all the time.
Now, hold on real quick, because I need to know, even as a sports fan, I need to figure this out. I'm a little cloudy on this entire thing. Because I do know, all
How
I know
old
is
you?
That 84, I was a 1 year old.
41-ish.
42, yeah. All I heard was, oh, Baltimore... the Colts left Baltimore in the middle of the night to move to Indianapolis, and you think they're using that to be dramatic. I didn't think they left middle of
There's
the
video
night.
Video everywhere in the snowstorm. Too. It gets a little more dramatic.
But here's my question March about because you snowstorm. Say Irsay. Are we talking Jim Irsay who just passed away, or are we talking about his father,
his dad? Jim Irsay was a little kid. This is 84.
So he's a young kid because Jim Irsay.
When you're born 84?
Yeah, I was born 83.
Okay, so they're leaving.
You've
only known him as the Indianapolis Colts.
That's it,
right?
But Jim Irsay, the son that just recently died, was awesome. He would just do drugs and party and play guitar. He had this band. He would go around with guitars and show them off, right?
Mm-hmm.
He like bought Jimi Hendrix's guitar and he's like, do you want to see Jimi Hendrix? He would do what I would do if I were the son of a football owner.
And you had a Super Bowl under Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you have Johnny Unitas says hello to you. Like all these classic
Colts. He had a hard road because this is the guy who was a child when his dad did this.
Sure.
But it's the family business, man. Where yeah. Just like the Modells. Like, we're going here now. And you're Which, going and you're going
to For context,
run.
The Modells owned the Cleveland Browns, who left for Baltimore. So Baltimore got a team back in the same way they lost the team. It's that saying, man. You lose a man the same way you get him. If you're cheating on the side, guess what? They're going to cheat on the side. And Baltimore was like, let me get some of that pussy. And Art Modell was
I didn't want... Well, nobody wanted Cleveland. I threw a whole joke about it. It's like getting somebody's, like, you know, used titties. Like, old, beat-up, ugly titties. They we want new in. Titties.
They go, oh, they're from the side. We they're want from new the 90s titties. Where you could see the ripple in the bag.
Yeah, not some... You know, not your ex-wife's titties.
It reminds me of The Simpsons when Homer's friends with that Bond villain and he gives him an NFL team and he goes, the Denver Broncos! And it's just the Denver Broncos on his patio. So, back to then. So, Ursay... Jim Irsay's dad, who likes the Robert Irsay.
Bob Irsay. Still hate in Baltimore. You can go to bars and there's still fucking shit up there about fucker Irsay.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It ran deep, dude.
That is impressive. Deep.
Have you ever seen the band that wouldn't die, the 30 for 30?
No.
Okay, so there's a 30 for 30 called the Band That Wouldn't Die, and it's the Baltimore Colts marching band. They were the only team in the NFL had this marching band at the time. Well, when the Colts moved out of town in the middle of the night, they went and stole their band uniforms and they hid them in a funeral parlor for years. And then slowly but surely, the band would still perform around the city. They would get on.
Like a ghost band?
They were just the Baltimore Colts marching band. They were
and playing. They just like show
do
up.
Parades, do parades. Okay. Do, like, you know what I mean? Appropriate. Yeah, it would just randomly be like, Tuesday. Oh my God, here they go.
You know, it's Tuesday at 3 p.m. I swear to God, it's the Colts marching band coming outside my place.
But then the Modells moved Cleveland to Baltimore, which I was not a fan of either because that is exactly what happened to us. Meanwhile, we're watching.
You guys do have empathy for Cleveland.
I've got empathy for Cleveland, but then I don't because of what happened. So we go from 84 to 96 without a football team. Yeah. We're a storied franchise, storied city, everything. But we watch Jacksonville get a team. We watched Charlotte. Carolina get a team. We watched the Rams move cities two times. Yeah. We watched Oakland go up and down.
Watched Cardinals leave St. Louis, go to Arizona.
We're watching all of this, and we're like, where the fuck's our team?
Yeah.
And then Modell decides to move Cleveland to Baltimore. Now, what I do, I know he's hated in Cleveland.
Was that 96?
96 is when we become the Ravens. But what I like about that is Modell said, look, I value this city and this storied franchise enough. I'm going to start a new team.
Yep.
I'm going to start new records. Your legacy will live. Jamal Lewis is never going to beat a Jim Brown record.
But
the way I would see Eddie George on the Titans beating an Earl Campbell on the Oilers, because you're doing the history of it. Yeah. Like, no, fuck that.
Here's my question to that. I thought I remembered at first that they were going by Brown's records and stuff when the team was new. Mm-mm. They started from scratch?
Scratch.
Because this is what's crazy, and for non-sports fans, if you're still following, what happened is
they're like,
once that team left Cleveland and went to Baltimore, became the Ravens, years later, the NFL gave Cleveland another team.
Not
that
years.
That was the Browns again.
3 fucking years.
3 years later, 1999 it was.
For a team that didn't do shit the entire, and still hasn't, and has still had zeros in their win column multiple times, has top five first round. They should be a goddamn juggernaut at this point, and they just fucking suck.
So you've got, and by the way, the Baltimore-Cleveland rivalry is great.
Two Super Bowls since we've come.
I know. Their One of them was over us. Let's fucking pump the brakes.
Now.
You guys, the Baltimore Ravens are one of those organizations where you have cool unis. You've always had cool unis, cool color scheme, purple and black fucking rules. And Baltimore is a city where you're like, you feel justification. You've got that mid-Atlantic attitude of like, we're port. We work at the docks. Everyone's drunk and fighting each other. We need a team to cheer on.
And you need a team like that.
And
we were
a spooky,
defensive-minded team was the right choice for the city of Baltimore.
Were you immediately, this is just you, we're talking about Ryan Sickler, the fan of football in Baltimore. You understand you're getting the Browns. you're mad that it's the Browns, but what about when they tell you it's the Ravens?
That's when it changes. That's when it changes.
They came in and go, I'm not that, look at me, yeah. I'm sexy. Mm-hmm. They go, uh-oh, I had a summer away.
Well, think about it. People also like, are you going to still root for the Colts? And I'm like, that's like rooting for an ex-wife to hit the lotto. Dude. We're not doing that
there
shit.
There was a time when the 49ers got rid of Candlestick Park, mm-hmm. there was a rumor that they might go to Los Angeles. And I had to really have the moment where I go, I couldn't be a Niners fan. Santa Clara's south enough.
That's
tough. That's 40 minutes south. But you go to L.A., you put the LA in the red and gold, we're done. Mm-hmm. We're done. Good luck. God bless. Did you think about other teams to go to?
This is the thing. The blessing of this, if you're a sports fan, is, okay, now I'm not just a Colts fan. Now I'm a football fan. So right away, I find Steve Largent and Dave Craig, and I love the Seahawks. Yeah. I find Ronnie Lott and Joe Montana.
Shout out to
49ers. I find Esaias. Well, we already knew him from Maryland, but Icky Wood. I found Walter Payton, Barry Sanders. So I became a football fan, and I was fan. I wasn't a diehard of anything. I liked the Raiders for a little bit, but I really liked the Giants when they had Hostetler, Dave Meggett. When they won the Super Bowl, he took over for Phil Simms when he got hurt. That was a great team that year.
Yeah, it
was
Lawrence all red, Taylor, white,
and blue when they won.
Those old Giants.
Great team.
Those Giants, Seahawks the ones great. That say Giants on the side? Yeah. What are you doing, New York? Go back to that.
Seriously.
With Scataboo and fucking Jackson Dart. Go back to the old school says Giants on the side.
But I want to say this because you're a knowledgeable football guy for sure, sports fan. I know I'm biased, but Baltimore is the greatest football city, town, listen to me, I'm going to back it up with stats, in history, all right? Not Green Bay, not all these other storied franchises. Let me back it up with some stats first, and then Green you Bay's can tough decide. To beat. It's not even close. It's so easy. Are you ready? When we first get in the league, we're the Baltimore Colts. Super Bowls aren't invented yet.
Yeah, they're playing
championships.
They weren't even letting black guys touch the football. You guys are just doing white dudes with spaceman haircuts. You were going like, well, we run it. We call it the tough tee. And that's what happens when you run straight at them. So we're going to run the tough tee. We're going to run right at them.
58, we win the championship, which is the Super Bowl then. The greatest game ever played, they call it. The overtime with Alan Ameche, sudden death against the Giants. That is what catapulted.
Is that Frank Gifford?
He was on that team.
He's on the Giants team?
Yes, he was.
Shout out Kathy Lee.
That catapulted the NFL into the juggernaut it is today. That's when everybody's like, oh, this is an awesome thing. Now, we then go on to win, well, we lose Super Bowl III against Joe Namath and his guarantee.
Yeah.
We win Super Bowl V. So we've got championships.
And Super Bowls.
And Super Bowls as the Baltimore Colts. They leave. Now, in the interim, you ready for this?
Yeah.
We get a USFL team. Philadelphia Stars moved to Baltimore. Baltimore Stars, guess what we won? The USFL Championship. Hold on. I'm going to get to the best one last. We got a semi-pro team called the Baltimore Bears Championship.
Okay.
We get the Ravens. Two Super Bowls.
2000 and 2012.
In between all of that, they won't give us a team. Like we said, we're watching them go everywhere else. They give us a CFL team.
What?
The Baltimore Stallions. I interned, and
a Canadian Football League,
brother.
Team?
We're the only American team to ever win the Grey Cup in the history of the Grey Cup. The Baltimore motherfucking Stallions. Baltimore is the greatest football town in the world. Every team that has come has gone to the pinnacle. Every
I feel like we're about to enter a hall with like a bunch of trophies and stuff, and you go, and now
come on, look.
The proof of everything I just said. Yeah, we're a
CFL fucking Stallion. We won.
You guys are a football town, but. Here's what's crazy. What is Baltimore high school football like? Because I think that makes a judgment on a town more than anything.
Well,
because you go to Ohio with like Pittsburgh kids or like out like the Philadelphia area where you get South New Jersey and you get Philly. But then you go to Texas outside of Dallas and you get, I mean, Texas high school football. But then Florida high school football, I mean, it's crazy because I think high school football, to me, cements what more of a football town is because it's the kids. It's like the kids that live there are playing. I don't know. Because pro, I mean, you guys have the chips. That is a crazy stat
run. That's right? I think about all the time. Like every level that they've come in, we have won. Not just had a team, we've won the top
Yeah, office. Football town, you guys might be that. I mean,
but you're right. So I'll say this. Baltimore is a football town, no. But Maryland as a state, yes. There's a lot of good schools like the Matha.
Well, you guys also go to Big Ten.
It's all the money that's... So I'm from Baltimore.
Sure.
But Maryland's only this big.
Yeah.
But the money is close to D.C.
Yeah.
Everybody I meet other than Stavi is from... Whenever they say, I'm from Maryland, I go, where? It's always right outside of D.C. I'm like, you people had money. You're in the Rockville, Montgomery County.
Yeah.
That's where the good high school players come from.
Do you? Yeah, because they can get coaches that were like in college. And
they're premier schools and everything.
And then they get... Fat kids who are smart.
And University of Maryland.
That's the key.
Fat smart kids.
A lot of high school teams have fat kids. No, no, no. You need smart fat kids.
You're right.
Who know how to pull.
You're right.
Who know how to fucking set up a screen. No, wait a second. Yeah. You need to have fats that show patience. No, no, no. Don't
and
immediately.
Good feet. You got to have dancer's feet.
Yeah. And that's only rich white high schools. That's the only place you're going to get that. Because the fats in lower income neighborhoods, fat people in lower income, they need that food. They're eating because they have to eat McDonald's.
Good point.
These kids are having protein shakes at the rich white high schools, doing drills, learning how to walk backwards. But yeah, it is. Do you take, when you tell someone you're from Maryland and you're from Baltimore, and then you meet someone and they go, oh, I'm from Baltimore. And you do that game where you find out how far away from Baltimore they are. Does anyone ever apologize? Or has anyone ever, like, taken the, like, I guess the accountability and gone, like, I'm not really from Baltimore. Like, when you zero in on it?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really give a shit about it that much. I don't, like...
I'm always interested in how many questions.
A lot of people do that. Like, you're not from Baltimore. You're from 15 minutes outside. You're Baltimore County, right across...
Yeah. That's a younger thing to do.
I mean, my birth certificate has West Baltimore specifically.
So what's up?
I'm born in St. Agnes Hospital directly next to, which is no longer there now, Cardinal Gibbons High School, where Babe Ruth played his ball.
So where are you at now?
Demolished the school. Had a statue of him in there, demolished the school.
Really?
The school's gone now, yeah. I had no idea. Babe Ruth
is from Baltimore.
Yeah. So Babe Ruth's from Baltimore, center field of Camden Yards.
Shout out, one of the most classic ballparks in Major League Baseball.
His dad used to have a pub called Bambino's Pub. In that area, and there's a little thing in there for it, and I think there's a bar out behind it now called Bambino's.
Why does that make me feel so good to know that family members of athletes back then were exploiting him too?
I mean, doesn't it make sense why he's probably was an alcoholic too? Yeah,
did you ever follow his diet?
No.
Did you see what he did? Can you bring up Babe Ruth's diet? It's uncomfortable. It doesn't sound like a lot of those diets. They go like, can you believe he consumed that? And you're like. Yeah, that's crazy if he did.
And then he's going out performing like that.
Dude, he's fucking a pitcher and a hitter. I was saying, Shohei Ohtani's the closest we got. So,
this is what the internet... I say it all the time, too. Go ahead.
This is what the internet says. Mm-hmm. Babe Ruth was known for his legendary appetite and unconventional diet. Here's a glimpse into his typical daily intake. Again, this is off the internet.
Daily.
You always have to take this with a grain of salt. It might not be true. Breakfast. Pint of whiskey mixed with ginger ale.
Wait, that's how it starts.
That's how it starts.
A pint. For breakfast.
That does me in. I have a pint and a couple breaths of air.
You think you could hit a 90-mile-an-hour fastball even 8 hours later?
Maybe that's the trick, though.
Maybe.
Maybe it slows down. Makes that ball a fucking beach ball. Pint of whiskey mixed with ginger ale for the stomach. A steak. 4 fried eggs. Fried potatoes. And a pot of coffee to balance out that whiskey.
The liquid amount alone would make me sick.
Yeah, dude. I'm good all day.
The liquid amount alone.
Lunch.
Lunch.
We're at lunch. That was just breakfast.
That sounded like...
That was at 8 a.m. This is 4 hours later. 2 porterhouse steaks. 2 heads of lettuce with blue cheese dressing. And 2 platefuls of fried potatoes. Afternoon snack. 4 hot dogs and 4 Coca-Colas. A hot dog and a Coke for
each. We're not even at batting practice.
Dude, he's not even at the stadium.
He's on his way now.
He hasn't put on his weird socks yet and his fucking wool baseball uniform. Dinner. Same as lunch. Nah. Just to remind you, that's 2 porterhouse steaks, 2 heads of lettuce with blue cheese dressing, and 2 platefuls of fried potatoes. You run that back twice. Late night snack. 4 hot dogs and 4 Coca-Colas. That feels AI. Other dietary habits, reportedly consumed over 10 calories, enjoyed sweets, including chocolate ice cream and apple pie, drank large amounts of beer and whiskey, smoked cigarettes heavily. Babe Ruth ruled. All these guys now are on like different kind of like probiotics and all this stuff, Babe Ruth.
If that's
like,
real, they should pay one athlete to do that and see what their fucking numbers are at the end of the season.
You still think you can hit 284 in the AL?
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. They should make Shohei do that.
They should make Shohei. He's the only guy that could do it.
They go,
he's the only one.
They go, Shohei, 10 Ks, three fucking home runs in the NLCS.
You throw up on the mound. Dude, I couldn't move after
his,
that.
His interpreter would be like, you go, Mr. Otani say you want him to eat the same as a Babe Ruth. Yes, we want him to live by that diet and play baseball. He says that is impossible. Dude, trying to do that and then go against, but also.
I don't think I could do that on a food competition day.
No, that's like man versus food shit. But four fried eggs and fried potatoes is enough for me for most of the day, let alone a steak, a pot of coffee. How much was Babe Ruth pissing?
And the Cokes and the whiskey, too. Don't forget the pint of whiskey.
And you're putting cigarettes on,
at breakfast. And nothing the rest of the day.
Dude,
that sounds like
his blood was like tree sap. That's fucking crazy. Oh, the fucking
bullshit!
Bullshit! He was only 215.
There's no way a man that eats like that.
That's like 215 plus inflation.
Yeah, that's like a, that's no like way,
a,
dude.
That's like a 2025 480. There's no way. 215.
That's bullshit. That's a high school kid today.
That's borderline. That's like no 215. There's no way he weighed 215. Or that's what the caloric intake of real food was. This is before they made science food. So it actually was beef.
Before
it really
Doritos
was eggs.
Showed up, yeah.
They go, no, that it really is hard to gain weight now. You don't understand. That, all that happened. I was there with the babe. Babe, can I have an egg? No. If you're hungry around the babe and you're like, dude, this is ridiculous. The four hot dogs, four Cokes is legitimately enough for a day for me.
Yeah, all that syrup and sugar just fill you. Oh, God.
And then him just juicing
shots. And then
you
go out and fucking play ball.
Yeah, it would pitch and hit. Hey, guys, it's the freezing cold winter. And if you're working outside, that sucks. And you should layer yourself against the outdoors. Check out Brunt Workwear. They're like, you know, a really good and affordable heavy-duty clothing company. For you guys that do real jobs. I'm talking about stuff outside, freezing cold. Get some Brunt Workwear, the boots, the hoodie. They're just as thick. They got a good pant, you know? Just go to bruntworkwear.com, check out what they got, and buy something. It's past the holiday season. It's January. It's every man for himself. So go get some Brunt Workwear. And then don't tell anybody, you know, it's a gift to yourself that you keep between you and yourself. Get $10 off at Brunt. We just call it Brunt now. Brunt Workwear is like its formal name, bruntworkwear.com, or you just call it Brunt. Get $10 off at Brunt with code SODER. Just go to bruntworkwear.com/SODER. Get $10 off at Brunt with code SODER. Just go to bruntworkwear.com/SODER, code SODER, and pick out something to get $10 off. Season means colds, the flu, all a bunch of just bad stuff that you get hit with, and you're like, what the hell do I do? Well, you go to ZocDoc.com if you need a doctor. Go to ZocDoc.com. Find a doctor, book an appointment, and get better. By the way, we're talking about in-network, close to you, easy to book. It's very simple. It's an in-network doctor, so you put in your insurance info. If you don't have insurance, you just find out who's near you, who you can book an appointment with. If you're a hypochondriac, it should be a website. It should be in your favorite websites, if people still do that. Even if you need a yearly physical, just go get it out of the way right now. Go to ZocDoc.com/Soder to find and instantly book a doctor you love today. That's ZocDoc.com/Soder. ZocDoc.com/Soder. And then find a doctor. And then you're like, oh, damn, got that out of the way. Now I can enjoy the rest of my year.
Look, damn. That man right there is not 215 pounds.
That's 250 pounds.
I was going to say 280.
Look
at that.
Fucking
big
That's
dude.
A big
That's
boy.
A big boy.
And also, let's be real. No disrespect The pitching back then was weak as fuck. Yeah. You're throwing like 89, but it's hanging over home plate. I imagine what if you sent Vlad Guerrero Jr. back to the like when he was playing. When was that? The '20s. Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Like 100 home runs.
I can't believe this. This man's superhuman. Jesus Christ! What are we doing? Oh my God! I'm so nervous. That's like that old Shane joke where he was like, they were so good at baseball, they knocked that accent off us. So like Jackie Robinson's up, holy shit. It's my favorite turn when Shane goes from doing that voice to going, holy shit, see how far he hit that? Yeah, dude, they were like, that's crazy just to fucking sit there and to consume that much. I mean, you guys had a guy that I loved that I just watched a 30 for 30 about Tony Siragusa.
Yeah, the
Goose. And he was kind of a little bit like that. The Goose was like...
He was a throwback for sure.
Eat a sandwich, drink a fucking... big soda, and then go beat the shit out of people.
He had my favorite fucking line. It was the year, it was 2000, when we had the greatest defense in the history of defense.
People in Chicago are getting real mad at you right now.
They had all they want to. We get 165 points in the regular season and only one touchdown in all the postseason. That touchdown was scored in the Super Bowl was a kick return, special teams, not the defense.
Oh, yeah, because I mean, I just watched that 30 for 30, and they go over it, and it's funny watching Ray Lewis, it was before Goose died. Mm-hmm. And it's like him and Goose talking, and they're like, man, that defense, that was that Marvin Lewis was your D coordinator? Yeah. Bill Belichick head coach?
Jeff Blake quit in the middle
Bill
of
Billick?
It. Billick. It was.
Does it suck to be Brian Billick and you have a name close to Belichick?
Well, also that. And remember, he was the offensive guru in Minnesota with Culpepper, Randy Moss,
Randy Moss.
Carter. Carter, and Dante Culpepper. Yeah. And all they did was throw the ball. And now he's coming to a team where he's like,
I can't do shit.
We didn't score a touchdown for five games and still won like two of them off our D. Like, that's stupid.
Shout out Trent Dilfer.
But Goose, he, during the AFC Championship against the Raiders, he tackled Rich Gannon. And they accused him of, you know, putting all his body weight on him, popping down on that shoulder, and it took Gannon out of the game, and then we ended up beating them. They scored 3 points.
Yeah.
And he was crying about it later. And then they interviewed Goose about it and said, did you hear that stuff Gannon saying about it? He said, you know what? You don't want to know what my wife said? She said, what's he complaining about? I take that weight twice a week.
That's great. That is great. That is great. Here's... Where is that, dude? Where is... We need funny players again.
Yeah.
Here's the problem is we don't have... There are some guys that are kind of funny, but those are like... We need to like...
There's no
characters.
Hey,
how you doing, kid?
Yeah, there's no characters anymore.
There seem to be a lot more of that, but that's also us getting old.
But I also think the league is like, watch what you say, watch what you do.
A lot of podcasts now.
Yes.
So people are like...
Anything can ruin you now for those guys.
But, yeah, dude.
But we had him and Sam Adams. He was a throwback for sure, Goose, and... Like, he's a guy that would drink a bunch of beer. And the guy before
him... Didn't he have, like, a radio show where you're just getting hammered in Baltimore? Those guys used to have local radio shows.
Oh.
Before podcasts, before they could get money, before everybody knew a way to sell somebody money, or before gambling apps were paying every athlete to start a podcast, they had to do, like, local radio. And they had to be, like... But some guys, like Goose, flourished.
That's right.
Because they would have a radio guy with them. So they'd go, like... All right, we're back, and we're live at fucking Dirty Debbie's Segura. You know, the Goose is here. Tom's, and then he'd be funny, and then the radio guy would handle it, telling you.
Well, we had a guy like him before on the Colts, too, named Art Donovan. You remember Artie Donovan?
No.
Dude, number 70, Art Donovan was Goose before Goose. He was that guy, the big dude that, and he was the greatest storyteller. Letterman would have him on all the time.
Really?
Yeah. Letterman loved Art Donovan. Because
wait, was he a boxer? Was he in a bunch of movies?
He was not a boxer. He's from Brooklyn originally, but he was a Baltimore Colt, Hall of Famer.
All right. D-line. I'm trying to think of the guy from Texas with the mustache that was the boyfriend Pet Detective.
Randall Tex Cobb.
Yes.
Yeah. No, not him. But okay. This dude,
Letterman always had random tough guys on.
And Artie was, for sure, but he was a great... Like, you listen to him tell a story. He was just a phenomenal storyteller, and Letterman loved it. He could sit and listen to him all night. Yeah. So I was lucky. Our varsity club senior year, we had our little whatever party or something at his Art Donovan's country club, and he came and spoke. And he didn't give a shit that we were 17 or whatever. He's fucking this and fuck that. He's telling old stories.
Because you know what's better than pussy, boys? Nothing. And if you're into asshole, well, that's just fine. I'm okay. I'll grow to agree with it.
It's guys and girls in there. But he would drink a case of beer, just like Babe Ruth, a day.
Yeah.
That was his thing. He's one of those guys. Not get fucked up.
I know.
Drink a case of it a day. But you're not built like that. He's built like
you drank a case of beer. You know what it is, though? It really is like, we go, their mental health was so bad. They were doing this. Everybody was their sexual oppression. And you go, they also were having 3 martinis at lunch and coming back and flying through that afternoon block. Mm-hmm. They didn't have phones to sit and scroll. They sat there smoking cigarettes going like, we'll do a merger. I'm pretty fucking banged up. Like, guys would just get drunk at lunch.
But he was great. So he's a Hall of Famer, and I like to get little mini helmet autographs.
Yeah, those are awesome.
So he would sit. You got one up there?
I got a 901 up there.
He would sit in a local bar right outside the stadium every game. So before a game one time, I went in, went to the back, saw him. He signed the helmet for me, talked to him for a little bit, and then I went over to the game. Like, those guys are gone.
I'll tell you right now,
those guys are gone.
How great of a life that is. If I did comedy until I was like 60 and then I just like hung outside of comedy clubs signing ticket stubs. Hey, I missed show.
People buying you drinks.
I go, thank you very much. Yeah, I was a real silly guy back then. Enjoyed the show. And then if I opened like Dan's Laughs and I just went like to restaurants and shook hands.
Yeah.
You guys enjoying the steaks? I would do the retired athlete thing. I'd open a car dealership if I was popular enough.
You want to know what I want to do, Dan?
We got to get out. People got to get out of comedy and open up restaurants again.
I want to be a bench coach, a baseball bench coach.
For like a high school semi-pro?
Pros, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to sit there, eat my sunflowers, rock back and forth, ask them some shit, and then be like, all right, let me get out. I'll yell at an umpire or something.
I want to talk about a swing being too low and have just a barrel of double bubble behind me. Just with a large
lot of chop. That way you hustle. A lot of that shit. You know what I mean?
Spitting. Spitting too much where you go, there's no spit left in his mouth. You
go, I'll manage if like the manager gets thrown out of the game. You know, that Katie, kind of shit. I'm like, you guys are on your own, man.
What I love, Katie loves baseball. It's sort of like her favorite sport. So we watch, like, she's gotten me back into it big time. Like, big time. We watch day baseball. I'm sad it's ending with the World Series. Mm-hmm. I'm like, sad it's ending. But I watch that and I go, fuck, I would love that. Just a giant cheek of chaw mixed with double bubble and just spitting, talking to my friends, going, what the fuck was that? Like if List came back to the dugout and I go, why are you fucking swinging at that? What is that shit? You're fucking better than that. That premise has got nothing on that. What are you doing? Or he fucking smokes one and you're like, do a high five and fucking what a punchline. Yeah. Ah, fuck. Yeah, dude.
Well, I would love to get a crown put on me after I come off a
sword with notebooks stacked on one of those turnover swords. You're like, fuck, dude, sport culture and comedy would be great.
It would change everything.
All the ones that are just fucking clout chasing, you go, I don't know how you fucking do a joke. Yeah,
I loved it so much as a kid. I would take a piece of bread, right? I'd take like a piece of Wonder Bread and I'd put it in the microwave for like 10 seconds just to get it warm.
And fuck the shit out of it.
And then I would peel the crust off of it and I'd roll it up and that's what I would put in my mouth as my chew. Yeah, because bread will stay in there all day long.
What?
Stay in there all day long, man. I'm not. My dad gave me tobacco. Have you ever done snuff or tobacco? You've done a dip?
I dipped when I was in high school and I played football.
Mm-hmm.
I do, because I smoked cigarettes already by then. And so I was addicted to nicotine. You ever
accidentally sipped a dipper?
Dude, the worst was we played Grand Junction Central, which is on the other side of the Rocky Mountains. It was my junior year and I was like backup, outside linebacker, kickoff team, special teamer. And backup Will Backer. So we like, it's a trip. We like have to drive through the mountains. You have to drive through the fucking Rockies. But I was dipping and I had like 3 cans of Kodiak. And then we're in the hotel the night before and I had a Powerade bottle. It was like watch TV and I was dipping. And our Coach Anderson came into the hotel room and I was like, and I just like held it to my lips or I'd go like fake drink it, but it was spit. So I'm like, I like when he was just in the peripheral, so he was like, "Oh, Sutter's drinking his drink." I'd be like that or whatever. But then he was talking to me for a while, and I had a mini dip in, so I probably knew. And then, like, after a while, I was like, and he walked out, and I was like, and it was just like a giant. I didn't like it. It was hot. Nate and Shane are my two friends that dipped the longest. Where, like, I would get into a car, and Nate would have, like, a Diet Mountain Dew bottle. He'd be like, where's your spots at tonight? And he'd be like that. Or Shane on the road. He'd, like, fucking pack a lip.
Snapple was the one everybody used in my day. It was Snapple. A wide mouth.
Great. Mm-hmm. My friend's mom drank his spit. My buddy's older brother Andy used to dip, and he put it in a Mountain Dew can that he fucking did it, and it was heavy, and it was on his thing, and she was like vacuuming his room, and she fucking took a sip of it, and then she threw up. It like caused a problem.
Dude, my dad gave it to me young.
Dip?
Yeah.
What kind of dip? Copenhagen?
So we had, I would do, this is how dumb it was, I would do a Skull Bandit, the pouch.
Yeah.
And I would have some either Hawken. Or Kodiak.
Cody, shout out. It had fiberglass in it.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know. A lot of people knew that. Uh-huh. It had a little fiberglass to
that's how you give cut you little you, cuts yeah, to put it in your bloodstream. You yeah, 100%.
Oh, fuck.
And I was like.
How old are you?
I mean, we're in elementary school.
Bro. That is way too we're early.
In elementary
school. I was going to give him a pass if it was middle school.
But here why.
If we're being honest with each other, I genuinely regret not learning another language. I genuinely think I should know 2 to 3 languages. I think the world would be a much better place if you knew what other people were saying instead of relying on interpreters or captions. Try it out with Babbel. Babbel is all about small steps, big wins, and progress that you can track and feel. They do like little tiny lessons. You can fit them right in. Easy to remember, just 10 minutes a day. It's the only way that I was like, maybe I'll start learning Spanish because I should know it. Worked in restaurants since I was 14. All I know is like kitchen Spanish, which is just the curse words that my friends have taught me. Probably not in good faith. Probably just being like this giant güero will go out there and curse. But how about I actually start learning Spanish? Because Babbel lets you practice real life conversation step by step. No stress. Going to build the confidence to speak up. And then, you know, finally maybe learn, you know, more progressively. But I'm saying, make fast, lasting progress with Babbel. They backed it with science. People much smarter than me were like, this is probably the right way to learn a foreign language. And you're like, yeah, I'm stupid. I need it to be laid out. But here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/soder. Get up to 55% off at babbel.com/soder, spelled babbel.com/Spanish. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Comedy fans know that life can get a little wild, and so can your schedule. Marley Spoon gets it. Some days you want to cook from scratch, and other days you just need something quick that still tastes great. Marley Spoon has over 100 recipes to choose from every week, from comforting classics to fresh, balanced dishes. There are even snacks and drinks for those in-between moments, perfect for when you need a break from laughing at your favorite stand-up. Everything is chef-designed and made with quality ingredients, so you can feel good about what you eat. Marley Spoon fits your life, no matter how busy or unpredictable it gets. Go to marleyspoon.com/offer/pod45 for 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's right, 45% off your first order and free delivery. That's marleyspoon.com/offer/POD45.
I got so sick from it, obviously, immediately. I'm diarrhea, I'm throwing up, all this. And I'm like, why would you give that to us? And he's like, that's why. So he told me, he said, I watched my uncle one time. His uncle used to chew Red Man with a plug.
So red is chaw. Plug. Yeah. So you put a plug, and what you do is the more you chew on it, the more juice, tobacco juice, it squeezes out. Those are the guys that get the big spits.
Yeah.
Because when it's chaw, you're like, and they a lot of times in the major leagues in baseball,
beach nut.
They'll do beach nut or they'll do Red Man mixed with bubble gum.
Mm-hmm.
And the MLB is trying to stop that, but you could see
Devers. He mixes it? He still does?
Oh, he's on the Giants now.
Yeah.
When I see a new guy on the Giants, I go, Raffy's got a fucking cheek in. But I'll be like, it'll spit like 6 times, and you're like, well, that's chalk. Because there's only something that can produce that much fucking liquid.
But he watched his uncle fall asleep in a chair and swallow it.
Ah!
And he said he just puked everywhere and everything. And then he's like, I did this and it made me sick. To this day, the smell of it.
So you never went back after?
Never, never. It worked. My brother didn't either. I mean, as a father now, my daughter's 11. She's in fifth grade. I can't imagine giving my kid dip.
Make her throw up.
But it worked. I can't stand winter fresh or any of that shit anymore.
My mom was going to make me do the, when she caught me smoking, she was going to make me do the pack of cigarettes thing, but I didn't have a pack on me. I kept it outside in the garden.
Where you smoke a whole pack?
Yeah, in front of her to like make me sick. But she was like, where are your cigarettes? And I was like, I don't have any on me. I did. They're in the back in an M&M Minis container in the rocks to the left of the porch. You missed it, you stupid mom. But that would have fucked me up because my friend had to do it. He still smoked. I loved smoking, dude. The second I started smoking, I was like, this shit rules.
I could never do it. I could take a 3-foot bong hit, but I can't take a little of a cigarette. It will, not only will it fuck me up, I'll feel it the next day. I'll feel it in my skin, my lungs.
I could have a cigarette burning in my corner. Look, back in the day, smoke get my eye, my nose, take it out. That looks good. All right.
That was my little league coach.
I fucking loved it, dude. I put a cigarette in, let it bounce a little bit while you're talking.
If I could smoke a joint and coach little league, I would do it all day long.
Shout out my friend Johnny's dad, Johnny Sr., who is the fucking man. Black dude with a rat tail.
Nah.
That rules. Had a cool ass voice too. Johnny's dad was the fucking man.
Rat tail, dude.
Black dude with a rat tail. And he was he'd be like, Johnny, the way he'd talk. But he was a little league coach. Johnny was a nasty athlete. He was my friend from like kindergarten. He was like nasty. Any sport he played, they talked him into playing football freshman year. He was on varsity like by sophomore year starting. That kid.
He could flip too, couldn't he? Was he a kid in your school who could do a flip?
I'm pretty sure he could, but he was modest. So he'd get embarrassed if you're like, Johnny, he's fucking, he'd ball out. But he was incredible at baseball, soccer, basketball, football, anything he played, he was great at. But his dad was a little league coach in the little league. Whatever, they were the Royals, I think. And I was on the Reds. But I would watch, I was friends with Johnny. So like if we were playing at different times, I'd go watch his game. His dad would be on the chain link fence with a fucking Newport outside coaching the team. Johnny, you better swing at that. And then he'd be smoking. I was like, dude, Johnny Sr. fucking rules.
That's where
rules.
He's coaching from just the other side of the chain link fence. I don't want the smoke getting in there.
Yeah, yeah. It's
coming right through.
And then he's like, ching, not in front of the kids. And he'd come back in. But I remember him leaning against the fence watching Johnny just rip a triple to fucking left. It was awesome, dude. Dads like that just smoked and didn't give a shit about us.
My little league coach, 100%. We had a guy named Al. We were the Braves. And he would smoke during the games, during practice, and he would get down to show you how to bunt. I would still laugh at this all the time. He's showing you how to bunt, but the cigarette's right here. He's bouncing on his shit. And it's, you know, the smoke's burning your eyes. And you're like, and he's like, what's going on? Why can't you see? I'm like, because your fucking cigarette is burning my eyes, dude. He'd get around you and stuff. And it's almost like never take it out. He wouldn't put it down.
He's like even offended if he does. He goes, fine for your fucking allergies.
Yeah,
and you go, well, you're burning my eyes.
You're going to right field.
Yeah. Dude, my dad would like smoke. My dad would smoke a cigarette he worked at a liquor store in Mill Valley, and my grandma lived in Greenbrae, so we'd have to drive every morning, like 6 a.m., to go to it, and he'd get in the car and light up a cigarette, and he wouldn't roll down the window for, like, a minute. Like, he'd be like, a couple things, and then I'd be like, and he'd be like, oh, yeah. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Is my fucking clean lungs a problem for you?
Also, this tells me that when you do this by yourself, you don't roll the fucking windows down.
Yeah, he lived a month. I mean, that boy Gary lived quick and loose. But I think everyone did back then. Everybody fucking smoked.
My Aunt Marguerite didn't give a shit. We get in a station wagon. It's my dad, my grandma, my three brothers. She gets in. She doesn't ask.
No.
She's lighting up back there. You don't ask. Nothing.
Light up.
She had the little case, the little leather one with the thing that would go like this, you know, and you undo it. And she had our little, and we're like, Jesus Christ, I'm sitting next to you right now.
Yeah, restaurants. Like smoking or non-smoking. Mm-hmm. People like, can you believe these non-smokers?
I'm old enough that people smoked on planes. That one blows me away.
It still blows my mind.
That blows me away when you're on a tube and there's a smoking section.
Yeah.
They called it.
Do you know that Bruce Pritchard, the brother Love from WWF, tells the story of that's how they got the character of the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase?
What do you mean?
Vince McMahon was on a flight, and a guy a couple rows behind him was smoking a cigarette. And Vince McMahon went, hey, can you put that cigarette out? And the guy was like, nah, man. He's like, how about $100? And the guy's like, no. He's like, how about $200? The guy's like, I'm good, man. He's in first class. He's like, I'm good. And then Vince like kept giving money until the guy was like, all right. And just put out a cigarette.
Everybody's got a price.
And then everybody's got
that's
a price.
It. Yeah, no
I think that's what Vince said to Bruce. And they made the $1 million man. Everybody's got a price for the $1 million man. Yeah. And it turns out he was right.
He was right.
He's just a $1 billion man now. You just changed that and it still works. Character still works. Except now he's got to be a snarky nerd that's on steroids.
Man, I grew up watching wrestling too.
I still watch it.
Listen, still I love just it. The other night. I go to a lot of YouTube now. Two things I've done. The other night I went and watched a supercut of all the General Lee jumps.
Great. Great. Just from Dukes of Hazzard?
Just the jumps.
Great.
Nothing else.
Great.
Just jump after jump of that charger.
Great.
One after the other. Great. It's fantastic. Great. It's like 20-minute supercut of one after the other. And every now and then a little whale and it'll get in there. We'll be right back now. It'll get a little one in there. But every now and then.
It really is a cum shot compilation.
It's so great. It's a fucking
Hazard cum shot compilation. Yep. You go,
I was like, somebody had to put this.
You go, look at that hill. Did. He's about to bust. Yeah. You go, ball the General Lee. Boo, he's busting in the air.
So I watched that and I watched. And it's shorter than I remember it being. Hogan beat the Sheik for the belt.
That's quick. Square Garden. It's MSG. They put the belt on quick.
I remember it.
They knew they were going to launch Hogan pretty quick.
Yeah.
And Sheiky was like a good, he took the belt off Backlund. That was the problem. How do you get the belt off Bob Backlund and put it on Hulk Hogan? You have the Iron Sheik do it. And Iran, people did not like at the time.
Yeah. And so I was really into the history of that too. So I found out Bob Backlund wouldn't give that belt up to anybody.
Because you know, he was a legit tough guy.
That wasn't a real wrestler. Well, when they brought the Sheik in, they're like, I mean, wasn't he a bodyguard for, like, he was a
Sheik went to the Olympics. Straight up, he was like a real deal.
So that's
deal,
what they said. Backlund had no problem handing it over to him, but it wasn't going to be like a Yahoo.
Yeah, that was the end of the real tough guy.
Yeah.
Where they kind of like, if you had the belt and you were out at night at a bar, someone might fucking test you. And if you lose that belt, you're not fucking.
Yeah, the Bruno Sammartinos and shit back then.
Yeah, they would go to bars and guys would be like, oh, you're the heavyweight champ? I'm going to fucking test you. And if they would have to beat the shit out of guys. That's why they say the most dangerous guy that ever wrestled was Haku. Who was
is that right? Yeah, I know who
he
is.
Said he would fuck people.
He was like a street fighter.
He would like look for it. He would like go to bars like hotel
like
bars.
Nick Diaz.
Yes.
Yeah.
But he was just a fuck, and he's like he's great. His sons are in the WWE right now, Tongaloa and Tama Tonga. But they're fucking dude. They talk about Haku like you want to fuck around. Haku will beat your ass.
We talk about it all the time. We were supposed to go see my brother and I got in trouble. To this day, again, I don't know what we did. But we were supposed to go see Andre the Giant wrestle Killer Khan in a steel cage at the Baltimore Civic Center.
Great.
And we did something.
You want to talk about smoking inside?
And my dad said, we're not fucking going. And we're like, whatever, dad's going to let us go. He's like, you go inside, you sit in that chair. You go inside, you sit in that chair. And we fucking sat there all day.
No.
We kept thinking, like, come on.
He's got to do it.
Because he always would. That time he fucking didn't.
Oh, no.
But we were going to see other ones. All but right. That time he didn't do it. And they also one time, and I had to look it up because I couldn't remember if I made this up or not, but they, when I was a kid, the high school I eventually went to, they came and wrestled at the high school. And then we look it up, and I guess they did go, and they did. It was on the internet. But I guess they would do these exhibitions, like Snuka, and Snuka was there. Jimmy Superfly Snuka. What the hell's that?
What's interesting about wrestling is it's very similar to comedy, and it's very similar to pro football. What we've been talking about was there was a time when it wasn't profitable, where you had to do it because you were doing it, because like it was like a little cliquish. It was like a weird thing. Like I try to explain to younger comedians now, guys in their early 20s and shit, that when I started doing comedy, you were almost ashamed to tell people. You were like, I do stand-up comedy, and people would be like, what? Mm-hmm. And now you go like, I do stand-up comedy, and they go, so do I, and I also blog and I write, and you go,
I'm the reason you didn't get that weekend.
Yeah, and you go, cool, because I review soaps with my poodle.
Yeah,
and you go,
yeah,
huh. Oh, but that's what wrestling would be like, and a little like
you're taking the gig wherever then,
but they're working the road, they're doing it for $5 a night. Mm-hmm. They're just wrestling whenever they can wrestle because they just want to do this shit.
So some promoter is out there being like, we'll find high school, we'll do whatever.
And also, if you play football at the time, it was like in Paper Lions, the George Plimpton book, but the guy that was the dad in Webster, forget what his name.
George Papadopoulos. Papadopoulos. Yeah, he was a player.
He would
Vikings maybe?
Lions.
Lions.
Cuz he was in Paper Lions. He would go wrestle in the off season because that's what they were doing. And so then these guys, what's interesting about it is wrestlers became possessive of it the way comedians did. Mm-hmm. Back, we're going through what wrestlers went through. They're still kind of going through it because you got a guy like Logan Paul who's unbelievable in the ring but didn't come the right way, didn't come up the right way. And you got people struggling with that, which there are guys that are like streamers and then they're funny and they can do stand-up. If it works, it works. But they were like really protected because they used to have to go do fucking high school gyms the way we had to do after prom shows.
And on American Legions and shit.
American Legions. But that's same with us. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember.
I was on bowling alleys, American Legions. Yeah.
Someone, I forget who we were hanging out with, but we were at a show and Katie was with me. And someone was like, shit, Soder and I used to do after proms. And Katie's like, the fuck is an after prom?
I've never heard this. You would go do that at a prom?
Well, dude, it's a New York thing.
I was going to say, I've never even heard that from never anyone. Even heard
of it. So what would happen is Caroline's, this I knew specifically of Caroline's back when it was in Times Square, high schoolers would hire them to do an after prom comedy show. So at 1 a.m, there would be a comedy show with like me, Joe List, Aaron Berg, and a couple of like whoever
at
was like
Caroline's or at the Caroline's. School. Okay, okay.
And these kids would come in and they get sodas. Oh,
you're their after part.
It was horrible. All these kids wanted to do was finger and jerk each other off. And then we're sitting there going like, dating, am I right? So I used to get blackout drunk. And then I would do it like it was like a dare speech. Caroline's would pay you shit. They'd pay you like maybe $100 and you'd go on at like 2:45 in the morning. So I wasn't stopping my drinking for some pipsqueak. So I would get drunk. I remember buying at the Duane Reade across the street from, which I think it's still there, in Times Square. I'd go buy 2 Corona 40s because they would close by the time I'd be done. And I'd go to that green room, I'd smoke inside and I'd drink those 40s. And then I'd go.
Babe Ruth in it before a fucking game.
That was
bro.
My Look diet.
Babe Ruth over.
You want to see Dan Soder's alcoholic intake before and after prom? And I'd go up there and I'd go, you guys don't know. I remember doing my Russian joke one time and this girl goes, that's racist. And I was like, shut the fuck up.
You just said Dare. Dude, you made me have a flashback. So I remember when Dare came to our high school. I graduate 91. So this would have been 90 because there's a year ahead
of me.
They
went to the high school?
Yeah, they came to our high school.
That's too late.
Came to
high
school.
You got to get them in elementary school. Like,
well, I'm 52. Dare, I don't know when Dare came about, but this would have been late 80s.
Because I'm telling you.
Early 90s.
Early 90s. I'm in fifth grade around 92, 93.
So they're coming to my high school.
But they're coming to my elementary school because they're testing it in the waters to see who responds the best. High school, I would have, by the time, if they would have given my high school, I would have been like, fucking narcs.
So they sent a tray to pass around the auditorium with like fake drugs, what pills and shit look like glued to the thing.
In Baltimore?
At this point, we're out in Carroll County now.
Okay.
The tray goes back up. Somebody put a joint on it. It went back with more drugs. This cop was pissed. Back to him with more drugs on it. Like, here's your fucking therapist.
As he's getting in, he goes, pretty intense stuff. Who put that in there?
I will never forget that. I was like, that's fucking ballsy.
Who the fuck put that in there? Smelling that joint? Sons of bitches. Also, I need to talk to you after.
I won't forget this either. His whole scared straight speech. So they would take, this is right before prom, so they would take a car that they said kids died in from drinking and driving. It would throw that right on the lawn at the front of the school.
Okay, go. You know,
you drive by and it's like 3 kids died in that car drinking and driving for prom. You're like, what? My buddy at the junkyard gave you all
that's
that.
That's so funny. That's such an East Coast thing where they go, my dad works at the junkyard. Yeah,
that's where I grew up, in a junkyard. That's where I got this car right here from the junkyard.
Hell yeah.
My buddy's dad owned the junkyard, so we grew up in this junkyard. But the other thing they would do too, this guy, he came in. And he gave a whole speech about how a drunk driver hit him on duty and he was in such peril that if they put him with, they gave him any kind of pain meds or put him out, they were afraid he wasn't going to wake up. And he tells this whole horrific story about the surgery he has to have with no pain
medication.
Meds. State trooper. Yeah.
What are you in the Civil War?
And we're all just like, what the fuck? And then he passes the drugs around and it goes back up with one more and he's just fucking.
That's so funny. I had to be awake during surgery and you want to play jokes. Yeah. It's so funny because my mom would like, She worked in insurance all the time, so she'd talk about work, but she worked specifically in medical malpractice. So I would learn about like doctors and stuff and like what they were doing fucked up. So if that would have happened, I'd go, well, you can't find a decent anesthesiologist. Like, this fucking guy's full of shit. I go, first off, no insured anesthesiologist is not being able to put anyone out. That's the whole point of the thing. Yeah, dude, they would make stuff up where they'd be like, and then they died. But I would go stay with my dad, who at the time I was in Dare was living in, I was already up in Lake County. So I'm already watching motherfuckers that are like drinking and on meth. And I'm going like, this ain't how it is at all. I'd prefer if he smoked weed. He'd be fucking calmed down.
I tell him, look, after what happened to me in the hospital, which is what my special's all about, Live and Alive, go watch it. The one thing they told me that because I was like, I guess it's the end of marijuana. And they're like, no. And I was like, oh yeah, you guys are cancer doctors.
Yeah.
And they're like, so what they said, and I want to make this very clear, I have to be on blood thinners for the rest of my life and everything. So they're like, look, you should stop drinking. You should just stop drinking anyway. And I wasn't a huge drinker. I'm the type of guy that could have a six pack in the fridge for months.
God bless you.
I know. But I'm not saying it like I'm better than anybody. I have smoked a small forest.
In that time.
Okay. Yeah. I am not. That's just the one that works for my body, works for my mind. But they said, we prefer you to smoke or ingest nothing, obviously. We prefer you not to ingest anything. And these were the cardiologists, the pulmonologists, everything. We prefer nothing. However, if you're going to take anything, cannabis is the thing that we recommend. Do not vape. Do not take any tobacco products.
Yeah.
Do not take anything with your blood in your lungs. And I'm like, they're like, you can smoke with the clots in your lungs. I'm like, what? Like, it's not going to make anything any worse. Cannabis is not going to make it worse.
You just up my intake.
You shouldn't, and we don't want you to. But, bro.
Come to my next episode, I go, Sickler said this is making me beat blood clots. Sickler's surgeon said that I won't have blood clots if I smoke this much weed. He goes, I didn't say that at all. That's absolutely misinformation. No. It is a thing where... like, I kind of realize when I do it too much, but man, oh man, the drinking stuff for me is like, it would have been fun to rip. It would have been fun to have Babe Ruth's diet. You see that and you go, but what's funny about living in 2025 is we look at that diet and we go, well, no. Yeah. But in the 20s, they go, well, if he's got the appetite for it must be healthy. Yeah. You go, no, four hot dogs and four Cokes. You go, you fat fox.
I think that's what I'm doing. I always joked about, like, if I make it into my 80s and stuff, I do want to try heroin. I do want to try these different things. But now.
The amount of friends I've lost because of it, yes.
Right? It's got to be good.
I'm going to check in with
it. But now I think I just want to eat myself into death.
Yeah.
And I mean the sandwiches that are made out of pizza dough and they just all the shit. That's where I'm going. That's gonna be the drug.
Oh, dude.
And I'm Babe Ruthing it from my 80s into whatever.
When I get indigestion, that's when I'll take the heroin. You have to understand, it's a little bit of a column A, a little bit of column B. We put it all together. The special is out now on YouTube. Go watch it. Click pause on this, then go watch Ryan Sickler's new special. Listen to The Honeydew. Listen to The Wayback Machine. You're the fucking man. I hope your Ravens turn it around. And if they fire Harbaugh.
Zach Orr's got to go first. Our D coordinator's got to go first.
And if
Harbaugh doesn't get fired midseason.
All right.
Let me just say this.
He's done too much.
The man has won us a Super Bowl, and he's done too much. If he's going to go, he deserves to go down with the ship.
You're right.
That's his job. Because also, what kind of message does that send to the next coach? Oh, here comes Dan Soder. Wait, I want to go coach for a team that guy did all that, and they just dumped him in the middle of one bad seat.
Treat your man right.
Even if you don't treat him right, let the motherfucker go down with the ship.
Yeah, exactly.
And then we can fucking build a new ship.
Exactly. I think a lot of us need that advice in our regular life.
There it is.
But you fucking rule, Sickler.
Thank you, brother.
Goodbye.